Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He was an unbelievable coach. I loved him. Obviously, I had him my first couple years in the NHL. Went to Seneca Final with him. That's another fantastic candidate. If you're looking at those two guys, I'd be extremely happy with both. He brings a lot of firepower and energy with him. He was great for me. He really held me accountable as a rookie, as a young guy. And I wouldn't be the player I am without him today. So I like both those guys.
Alex Tuch speaking on the idea of Gerard Gallant. Also Lindy Ruff. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong here. And it's, again, it's about what these guys are asked. And I'm not mad that they got asked this. Can anyone remember 2 days after their coach got fired, the first conversations about the coach getting fired, the players vocally endorsing other candidates immediately as great ideas?
He was asked specifically about him in his defense, but...
I know. Don't you normally,
no,
like,
I know.
Yeah, sure, we had a, you know, I mean, he did a lot for me in my career. I mean, it's not up to me. Whatever happens, I mean, that's... That is a, yeah. I'm Alex Tuch and I support this message, endorsement of, if it's one of those two guys, it would be great. It's not up to me.
He called it, I mean, Tuch, there's a reason for this, because he grew up a Sabres fan. He called it would be a dream come true if Lindy Ruff became their head coach.
Yeah. It just seems like, again, I don't mean it as any criticism of Tuch. It's the body is not cold on the last coach. He just got fired. First reaction, and... Every one of these players, sure, if you want to say they are echoing the GM, okay. But it was a unified message that we need to be challenged.
Right. From all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, how was was Adam's tone the same that it was with them, that it was to the media with that stuff?
Oh, because it was much harsher.
maybe it was even much harsher than that. Like, I really wonder, like, how much of it was... Did they just get reamed out by the GM? Because if that had just happened, then I guess I could understand even more so why they sounded that way. That, you know, it's a bit of a scolding, maybe, on their part. And they understand it, but did they organically get to that conclusion? Or were they... Did they understand the conclusion, but it was given to them by the team? By people above them?
Well... If it's something that was given to them and they're just following orders and parroting what the GM said, they're certainly doing a very good job of it. That didn't sound, not too much of that sounded phony to me.
Yep.
It sounded impassioned. It sounded like, yes, this is what we need. We need to be pushed harder. And Adams, right, again, it does fully echo what the GM said, but it's very, I think it's noteworthy. All of a sudden, all of the Sabres players have the answers. Yeah, this is what we need. That's right. Okay.
It's just such a change. You know, it's such a change of tune from them, right? Like, all year they wanted to fight people on behalf of Granato. All year. They acted genuinely like they scoffed at the idea of there being any question about the head coach. And just, like, the day after, they're just... Yeah. It turned that quickly, that fast. Like, I understand arriving at this point at some time for them, but after a year of, we will fight you if you think that our coach is the problem, to the next day be like, oh yeah, look at all this stuff.
Let's consider who said that. Who was the most upset?
Darlene.
Why would he be upset?
Because Granato did a lot for him.
Saved his career might be a little strong, but brought him back to what he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then there's Tage. Tage, how do you feel about Don Granato? Like, he's the reason I have $50 million.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You've got a lot of players that saw personal success, and I would think would be very grateful for their personal success. And it's also worth pointing out, you know, you got 20-whatever guys in a room, not all of them respond to the same coaching style. You might have it where some players are good and can be coached and can hold themselves accountable and play the right way for any coach. And that same player might look and like the coach in the room and think, we need somebody else to get these other guys because this style doesn't work for those four over there. It does work for me. It doesn't work for him. And with that, you might know you need a change. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Talking about that, also talking about the Coyotes' last game at home. Would you go to a game that was the last of a franchise before they move? Could you bring yourself to go to KeyBank Center as the Sabres are saying goodbye?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of tears in Arizona last night. Kind of wild. It does. Do I want to say this because it sounds really cynical? If Arizona's game was in a 19,000-seat arena, would it have been as intimate and emotional? It was
Probably not.
It's a college arena.
Probably not. But it would have been full, though, 19,000, if it's the last game?
It's not an answer we can have, but
I mean,
it's worth asking.
You can look back at other franchises in their last games. I actually did a little of this last night. Like, let me go find on YouTube the last moments of the Hartford Whalers. I mean, it's, you know, maybe a more natural hockey market at the time.
Yep.
That place was full and emotional and loud. I also, though, looked up Atlanta. Nothing.
How about
nothing at all? Not even what you got in Arizona last night. You got the tears from Arizona. Like, it was like a non-event in Atlanta when they left.
How about the Oakland A's?
I mean, they're not showing up at all, right? Are they averaging like 100 people a game?
Yeah. John Amarillo. John, good morning.
Yeah, hey, earlier on you guys were talking about culture and leadership and, you know, whatnot with the Sabres. And I don't know if you noticed, but...
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, once they traded Okposo, it seemed like a different team. And you were talking about, you know, guys, you know, needed to be held accountable. Well, Kyle Okposo should not have been in the NHL this year, okay? He's a nice guy. He was a fine, okay player while he was here. He was a step and a half behind everybody, okay? Everybody in that locker room knew it. And they had to follow his lead. What did Okposo bring to the table for us? Was he a hard checker? Was he a real good forechecker? Was he a good skater? Did he score us a bunch of goals? Did he muscle other people? What did he bring to the table? Oh, he was a good leader. Really? Really? He was Donnie's right-hand man, and I think that, you know, in my opinion as a player, you got guys playing on the ice that should not be there. He should have been the one up in the press box watching the games for more than 50% of the games this year. We had more talent in the press box than we did on the ice. And the players knew that. The players knew it, okay? It's hard to give your best effort when the management doesn't have the best 20 guys on the ice every night. And you got to follow the lead of someone who, unfortunately, couldn't play in the league anymore. Look at how many games he played for Florida since he's been traded. He played 5 games. He's been a healthy scratch.
Does he have a point yet?
Okay.
Nope. No points.
No points.
Yeah. Thanks, John. The thing I think about here is, why do they bring him back? Leadership. Right. Kevin Adams talks about Gergensen's being special, and you can't trade him because he's special.
Mm-hmm.
He's important to the fabric of the team. Why'd they sign Eric Johnson? Leadership.
Right.
It's almost, you don't often go this far on the leadership idea, but it's a little bit like toughness in a way. Should you have it? Yeah. You should probably have it from guys that can play.
Right.
If you have it, just Eric Johnson.
Your three worst players. Right? Arguably your three of your worst players are your leaders in that locker room.
Yeah, and they're brought in for leadership.
Right.
It's a little bit like trying to reverse engineer it. Instead of, maybe they thought, young team, ready for expectations, let's make sure we have some adults in there because we're going to need those guys. And they might have provided a lot of leadership that we can't see. We're not in the locker room. But right, if you're leading off the ice but cratering them on the ice, like Eric Johnson, then I don't think it's worth it.
Didn't Eichel have a comment once upon a time about something like this? Was it maybe pointed at like Josh George's, like leaders on the team, like also need to be able to carry their own weight?
I don't remember that comment, but
I think there's a comment I'll have to find from like way back when. Like that's not been present. Like should it be that surprising that we are here after the season and every player is talking about their standard being raised when the leaders of the team were always the guys on the ice falling below the standard?
Right. And those guys
were the ones dragging you below the standard whenever they were out there.
They might be trying and putting the effort in, but if the guys can't play, it's yesterday we had a caller calls about Nick Delorier and wanting the Sabres to be tougher in that way. And it's not that you don't want the Sabres to be a little tougher, more sandpaper abrasive, but you don't want a guy with 4 points that craters them when he goes out there. Right. I don't want to have to sacrifice 8 minutes a night, 10 minutes a night for some intangible. You get the intangible, the guy that can play.
Yeah.
Dan in Pittsburgh is up next. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I was calling in, honestly. I know Joe's, like, master big trade is for Stamkos this offseason. I wanted to call in and one-up him, give a little let's get stupid.
Okay, into it.
So, the Penguins are so old right now. If we called them and offered up a lot of our farm for Crosby, I feel like they might be inclined to do it. I mean, obviously he's a legend out here and everything, but they are in desperate need of a youth movement, and we almost have too many prospects to even know what to do with. So I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
If this were a video game, I'd be into it.
You can make video game trades. He has a no move, and I think if I'm the Pittsburgh Penguins, there's no circumstance in the world he ever plays for another team.
I think that's my thought on it.
There are some players you just can't do it.
Yeah,
Derek Jeter. Like, nope.
And if they ever did arrive at the point to say, "Hey, we don't think it's going to work here. Do you want one more shot at a Stanley Cup?" And if he tells them yes, okay, like, all right, let's work together on a trade. They're not getting to the Sabres.
Right? No,
he's not getting to the Sabres.
Yeah, he's got a full no move.
Yeah. So, it's a fun idea. It might fit everything you might think they need. He was awesome this year.
Yes, he was.
But it just, you can offer them as many prospects as you want. It's just there's other factors that are going to stop it. And really, maybe it's not too different than Stamkos for that. Like, how realistic is it that Stamkos is going to come here? I mean, he's going to be available, which is the big difference. But that's probably unrealistic, too. Again, all this... Well, I guess Stamkos and Crosby, like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to find the leadership stuff that you think they need, raising the standard that they need with guys that can actually play the sport. And are they going to need that, or do you just need that to be internal? Because I tend to think that guys like that are unattainable for the Sabres, or sometimes just even bad ideas because of what you got to give up to get them at this age. So what's the best outcome? The best outcome is you just get it from the guys that are already in that locker room.
And this is where
Kevin can play.
Yeah, and this is where Kevin Adams comes in because, of course, like he's going to hire the coach, and you address what to do about the players after the coach. First step towards whatever. You say the Stamkos idea, the callers, Crosby idea, leadership. The first step is hire the coach that's going to make it so you can line up the moves behind the coach.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. Thanks, Dan, for the phone call.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.